Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. So I guess that's your hardest, huh?
No.
No?
No.
What do you got?
I think I learned doing bush because that was the only trail that I ever wanted to turn around. I think a lot of it is the eating. I learned that I need to eat a lot right before I even start the trail. I don't know what happened that I just wasn't eating or I didn't eat And every time I would catch up, because I'm the slow one in the group, and every time I would catch up to the group, they were sitting there and they're eating and stuff, and I'm like trying to, you know, breathe and catch up to them. And when I did, and then I didn't get to eat, like they kept going. And so I was like, so I just kept going. And then Mark was kind of like back behind with me, and then he went ahead of me. And then at one point I finally stopped and I ate some grapes and I was just like, I just want to turn around. I just want to turn around. And at that moment, Mark came back and was, you know, and I guess that's when he was turning around and I didn't know why or what happened. So he actually didn't summit bush. He turned around. But at that point, I went back up and then I summited bush and ate. And I think a lot of it was because I didn't eat. And I learned from that point that I need to eat a lot before I start the trail and then make sure that I have good carbs when I'm on the trail. And that's where I learned about, you know, making pizza, pizza the night before and just having it in my pack. And it's easy for me to grab and it's a carb that I can, you know, burn off on that mountain. And so that was the hardest hike that I've done because of the eating.
And also, hopefully you learn to yell at the people you're hiking with that you get to them. They've already taken a break and then they start to leave. Yell at them and say, stop, guys. I haven't had a chance to take a break. I haven't had a chance to eat.
Yeah, I just felt like I was slowing them down. So I didn't say anything, but yeah. I learned.
I used to do that to my stepdad. He called me out and I never even realized it. You know, I'm ahead, stop, he catches up, I go ahead, and he's like, hey, I haven't even got a blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh
yeah, okay. So I learned from that. And then Elbert was probably the second hardest only because of the breathing. But other than that, it was good. Like they're upset about Elbert, and I was like, I was fine. Elbert was good, like coming down, like I was coming down and I saw like two guys going up. But after that, I didn't see anybody, like, at all, going up or down. And I was pretty much in the trees and just taking my sweet time. Laura did call me several times, and I called her back, and I couldn't get a hold of her. And I don't know what happened. I mean, we did have self-service, but I just couldn't get a hold of them. And whenever they would call, I didn't, like, hear the phone ring or anything like that. So it's like, I don't know what happened.
Well, and Jennifer didn't see people and people didn't see Jennifer. It was a whole experience.
Well, because we didn't do as much research as I normally do for this trail. We kind of went with, you know, people's opinions and which trail we should do. And we ended up doing the much longer trail. I think I clocked 22 miles at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we should have clocked North Road.
There's a shorter version of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we started earlier. We started about, 3 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of mistakes we made.
If you're doing a Colorado 14er and you're not at the trailhead at midnight, you're too late. You're not going to find parking. You're not, you know, that was one of the biggest lessons learned for me. You know, we're getting there at 2 or 3 in the morning. There's no parking. I'm having to park 2 miles down the road. So you're just adding on to your day. Oh, it was a mess.
I was going to say, all in all, it was a great hike. We're going to do pikes. We've learned a lot. So we've got a little group going up September long weekend. So we're researching this one a little better.
Actually researching this a little bit.
And guys, if you need any Colorado information, I definitely will pass you on to my friend Jamie, and he's done all the peaks, and he definitely can help you guys, you know, if there's anything outside of the norm. So this is probably one of my favorite next questions. And Laura, this one goes to you.
Oh, no.
Do you have any common misconceptions that you like to correct hikers on about hiking in Texas? And let me give you an example. This is my favorite one, is you don't need a hiking boot to hike in Texas. If you're going off trail at Big Bend or at Guadalupe, yeah, you probably want to have a hiking boot, but just normal hiking, like a nice trail runner, something with a wide toe box. But, you know, I always hear that, oh, I got to have hiking boots, and you don't. So that's like one thing that I always giggle about. But do you have anything that you kind of hear? I mean, you know, you guys are active in the Facebook group. I know questions or people wonder about that maybe is a misconception.
More than anything, I people go, you hike in Texas? I think that's what we get a lot is, you hike in Texas? Where is there hiking in Texas? Because it's like, especially West Texas, you know, you're in East Texas where it's lush. It may not be like, you know, steep hiking, but you can go on a walkabout, right? And so where are you going to hike? In the dirt? And so when you start to tell people, no, there are places, and you share a picture, so share some pictures with them, and they go, wait, that's here? And I thought I had to go like Colorado, or I thought I even had to go to the mountains in New Mexico. And I said, well, they're connected. And I just don't think people put that perspective together. There is hiking in Texas.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And, you know, I probably I'll go hike the Lone Star Hiking Trail. So I don't know, 10 to 20 miles, and I'll come back with 200 pictures. I'll go to Guadalupe, come back with 300 or 400 pictures. And I'll put these pictures up against anything that somebody would get from New Mexico, Colorado, Washington. I think you nailed that one out of the park, that we have such a diversity and such a beauty in Texas that often goes unnoticed.
Yeah. It's hostile. That's Teresa's word. It's a hostile environment. That West Texas is not to be played with when we are hiking. I mean,
people die all the time. People die in Palo Duro. People die at Big Bend due to the heat, it happens all the time.
There's all kinds of, you know, cactus and things that are going to, you know, but it's, I think there's absolute beauty here, and it's not that far.
No. Teresa, what about you?
So there's a lot of people that immigrate to Midland, Odessa area from up north. There's a lot of workers and stuff that have joined the group. And a lot of them have tried to hike in the summer because when you're from the north, that's your only season. And so the miserable, like one guy said, he almost died at the notch, because, and I was the only person on the trail. I'm like, because none of us do the notch in the summer. You know, it's not typical. So I just think there's a lot, when you see mountains, you just assume it's going to be a lot cooler like it is in the north, but it's not. And so you do your research on the weather and stuff like that. But I mean, me included, I didn't realize it was going to be that hot in the Guadalupe Mountains when I first started hiking there. I think the first time I went was in 94.
And you get up in the quads, it's February, it's 23 degrees outside, not a cloud in the sky. That sun is killing you. Mm. Like, you know, like, and you're not hot as per se, but it's burning you. It's nothing to be played with, for sure.
Yeah, and just different hiking seasons. I mean, we clearly know our hiking season is fall, winter, and spring. People from the north, their only hiking season is really summer. So just have to be educated about that. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good questions on our hiking page that all get answered appropriately. And so people can just feel free to ask, especially if they're from different states.
Yeah. Yeah. My hiking season is from probably the first, or it ends at the 1st of June, and it kickbacks up around maybe the first weekend after Labor Day. Depending on if I can catch a cool day. But yeah, I mean, there is no way I'm stepping on a trail in the summer.
Tammy and I were in our winter coats this weekend. We were freezing at the top of Hunter. So our night hikes are the only way to really hike in the summer.
So I didn't understand. So Kip, he's part of your group, and I think you even know him, Kip Green. Mm-hmm. He says like he's in Amarillo, and at it's 108 degrees during the day, and at night it's like 67, 65. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it the same for y'all? Like at the night where it's cooler?
You know, it'll get down in the mid 70s. If it's 100 degree day, it'll get down to 75 or so.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, you know, he says a lot of times at Palo Duro, they'll close the trails until about 5 o'clock when it starts to cool down, and then they'll open them back up. So I was pretty shocked about that. So Michael, what about you? What are some misconceptions
about hiking in Texas?
Yeah. That you see.
Well, yeah, I would have to agree with you, Jason. I mean, a lot of people don't even know about Big Bend. It is what Laura was saying, is people don't understand the opportunities that there are in the state for hiking. I haven't hiked East Texas. I mean, I look at the pictures you take along the Lone Star Trail and stuff are just absolutely gorgeous, you know.
Yeah.
People need to get out. You go to any of the parks here, you know, and everybody's about the peak. You know, I got to do Guadalupe Peak. I got to do Emery Peak. I got to peak. And they don't understand some of there's some trails out there that aren't peaking, that are just, you know, you need to get off of that. Because, I mean, they're.
Well, don't say that too loud, because I tell everybody, yes, just stay at Guadalupe Peak. Just stay, so then I don't have to see them.
Yeah, you don't have to see them. Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, but it's right. Of course, everybody, but, you know, I mean, I've done Guadalupe Peak maybe 5 times, you know, it hadn't changed. So it's about time, you know, it's going to be the same peak next time. It's about time you get to that point where I need to branch out. You know, I need to go other things. I tell you, one of the most beautiful trails in Big Bend is Maravillas Canyon. You hike above, it's like Santa Elena Canyon, but you're up at the top looking down at 1,100 feet below you. It's just, and there's nobody on it. I've been on that trail twice, and I saw two kids on it once. But yeah, that's the biggest misconception. I don't mind hiking in the, you know, I will hike in the summertime because nobody's on the trail, because
yeah,
is gone. You got to understand your conditions and what you're doing. I won't. Yeah.
Tammy, what about you?
Honestly, I think misconceptions are, you know, that hiking is just a walk in the park, in the sense, you know, like I saw, like Pete thought about, you know, just walking through Zilker Park or something, you know, and it's not, you know, I mean, it could be, I guess, but not what we do, because everything we do mostly is in West Texas. And that's not Zilker Park. I mean, there's no trees. That's a big one too, is there's no trees for us. Like Pete and I did Mule Ears in Big Bend.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. Like when you get to the trailhead, and there's two trails for Mule Ears, and we did the one that was supposed to end up at a spring. And let me tell you, the spring is literally a trickle. We made it to the water. We had to find it. But we found the trickle, but there was no shade at all. And we started it at like 7 a.m. But, you know, it was, I think the whole thing is 6 miles, 3 out, 3 back, and no shade at 10 a.m. at Big Bend. That's horrendous.
Yeah. You know, I think people don't understand, in Big Bend, Guadalupe, you know, West Texas in general, the weather changes pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, you know, Big Bend, you know, there was a guy that died at Mule's Ear as a kid, didn't have the right equipment, was trying to make it there and back, and a blizzard came. He couldn't see it coming because, you know, he was heading into like a, I guess, a cliff where the storm was on the other side. It hit him. He was all wet, and he ended up, I guess, dying from hypothermia. But it's documented, like, this thing, you know, Colorado, yeah, the weather happens, but, you know, also, like, we have to really pay attention to that. Guadalupe Mountains, you know, you're up at elevation and 80-90 mile an hour winds hit, you know, you're in way trouble.
My first picture on Hunter Peak, I'm laying on my stomach because it was, the winds were blowing so hard I couldn't stand up. Like, I literally took the medallion on my stomach.
That was the hike that I didn't go to.
Yeah.
See, you would have stopped the winds. Golly, Jennifer.
I know. The Jennifer effect was absent.
Well, I think to Tammy's point, I know every one of us on Guadalupe Peak or any other trail have passed people going up, and you're looking at them and you're going like, what possessed you to think that you could do this?
Yeah, but we're coming down at 10 a.m. They're just now going up.
I know.
And they have one little bottle of water.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're in flip flops, and then the girlfriend's crying, and I've stopped a ton of people, and I go, I don't mean to be a jerk, but you're in way over your head if this is what you think. What you think this is, what, you know, like the way you're dressed, the water you're carrying, if you think that's what's, a, you know, what the, your day is going to, this is going to support your day. Yeah, it's, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, speaking of weather, we did a group hike to Cap Rock. We had a huge turnout. We knew there was a storm coming in that evening, but it blew in way ahead of schedule. So the temperatures dropped. We had, you know, pieces of ice hitting us. I was really nervous we'd get snow and not see the trail to get out. So we weren't quite prepared for that. The little girl in our group just had a tiny jacket on. She was not prepared for it. So yeah, you have to carry all the things with you.
I learned that from Henning. I mean, like I never said, oh, shell smell. I'm not going to carry a shell. And this February we got a quad. He goes, just carry it. So I carried it, and thank God I did. You know, it's 19 degrees, wind, and man, I put that shell on, and it was like heaven. And I'm a shell believer from that moment on. And well, you know, a lot of times, at you know, here in the Lone Star Hiking Trail, it's flat, it's in a forest, you have protection. I think it's also important when we see, you know, inclement weather, and it's not dangerous, let's say like we it's just gonna rain, is to take your, get out there and hike and test out your equipment. Then you know it's gonna keep me dry or it's gonna keep me warm, and you're in a, you know, like I'm just an hour away, if my rain jacket doesn't work or if this didn't work, I just turn around and just get back to the car in a couple of miles. But I think sometimes we get out in these situations, whether we don't have the gear, and if we do have the gear, we don't understand how it's going to perform.
The most scared I ever was on a hike was on Whitney.
Yeah.
And because I had the gear, we got to base camp, and I left my rain gear in my tent because it started out a beautiful day. And we went up, and we summited at about 10:30, just like everything does. And on the way back, the storm blew up. And we were probably at about 11,000 feet above the tree line, and the thunder and the lightning hit, and then the hail hit, and then the drenching rain, and I was soaked to the bone. I'm hypothermic.
Yes.
Halfway, I can see the camp down there, and I'm shivering uncontrollably, and I'm alone. Sean's behind me. My concern, I'm thinking, well, should I? Is about now my friend, and I'm shivering uncontrollably, just soaked to the bone. I can see the camp down there, but my thoughts are, I need to see where Sean is. I need to see where Sean is. And then my second thought is, Sean's a Green Beret. He's a retired Green Beret. He's been through worse shit than this. Why am I, you know, why am I worried about Sean? Because if I stay here, I'm going to become a liability to Sean.
Exactly. Yeah.
I need to get my butt down. Otherwise, he's going to have to deal with me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I went down there. Well, before I hit the camp, I looked up and I saw him coming down the mountain. So that was relief. I made the right decision there because I got into my tent and I stripped down. And I got into my blankets and I got into my bag and I just started eating everything I could eat. I just, you know, everything I could. And it turned out okay. We got off the mountain that day. We were going to camp again that night. And we just said, let's get out of here because the rain was just pouring. He said, you're already wet. You're already wet. You know, I mean, in the braids, when we're out and we're wet, it actually, you're better off just hiking wet than you are trying to, you know, you just need to get down. You need to get down. And so we did.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was the most fearful I've ever been on any hike.
Yeah. You don't play around with hypothermia. You can't recover from that hardly.
That was my mistake. I had the frigging gear. Like you said, put the shell in your bag, put the raincoat, put the rain gear in your bag. You know, I mean, put it in your pack. It doesn't weigh shit.
It doesn't weigh nothing. Just put it in your backpack.
Yeah,
we always have our rain gear now and a headlamp. Yeah.
You know, like I have 8 backpacks. And one of the backpacks, my favorite one, it's already packed with a day, everything I need. First aid kit, shell, blah, blah, blah. It's already there where I don't even have to think. Headlamp, whether I'm hiking it at 9 in the morning, right. You know, you never know what the day is going to have in store for you.
The other lesson I learned on that hike was, and I think this goes down to one of your questions on the advice, and Jennifer brought it up, is I was leading the group and I was tanking it. I was the night before. Now I tried to stay in shape and everything. And the night before, me and Sean went to the grocery store to get the provisions. I'm in there buying protein bars, beef jerky, and all of this stuff. And Sean's in there buying Paydays and Snickers, Jolly Ranchers, and all of this junk food that I avoid like the plague.
Yeah. Right?
So we're going up and I'm just walking all over the place. And the other girl that was with us, Monique, is a San Diego police officer, but she's also a trophy winning fitness nutritionist. Sean said, well, you're just tanking it. What's wrong? I said, I don't know. I just don't have it.
He said, what are you burning?
He said, what are you eating? I told him, I said, I got protein bars. I got jerky. And both of them just looked at me and said, no. Your body, that does you nothing. You don't need protein. You need sugar.
Yes.
You need sugar. That's why I bought all of that junk food. He said, he handed me a bag of Milk Duds. I said, I want you to eat half of this bag of Milk Duds. You tell me in 20 minutes how you feel.
Yep.
And in 20 minutes, he said, how do you feel, Mike? I said, man, let's go. I'm good. And because the only thing that your body can burn readily is that refined sugar.
Yep. So
popping the Jolly Ranchers, you know, and popping and eating the sugar, you know, I mean, I wouldn't eat it normally, but he said protein is for recovery. You eat the protein yep. at night, or you eat it when you get off the mountain, you eat the protein and stuff. But no, you just, so now, when I go to the gym with these girls, I'm popping Jolly Ranchers in my mouth, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes before I go to the gym.
Yeah.
To get burned, to get that energy, to get that, you know.
Our tradition in the morning when he picks us up, he's got a box of maple donuts.
Oh, yeah. You hike with me. I go to the donut place at 4 in the morning and I've got maple donuts and
oh, man.
Rolls, and that's
a diabetic's paradise. Wow. Hey, when I have those mornings, I just take an extra pill. As we start to kind of wrap this up, I'll have 3 questions for you. The last two are mandatory. Every episode, I always end with them. But before we get there, what are some essential items that you carry in your backpack? So let's say, again, we're at Davis Mountains and I run into you. What are you going to have in your backpack?
The number one thing that I always make sure to have is water. I pack at least the 3 liters, even though I might not use them all.
Thank you.
The only time I have ever ran out of water was on Mount Elbert and Mount Wheeler. And that was the 13 and 14,000 feet hikes. And those were, they were tough hikes, but those are the only time I've ever run out of water. The next thing that I will have is, of course, my food, chicken, pizza.
DiGiorno pizza, yep.
Something carbs, something sandwich. Like I was doing Mount Wheeler, and I had a chicken sandwich in a bag on the way up, just trekking it up. So my water, my food are probably my biggest things. And I always carry my sticks. Of course, you know, I'll have other things, but I think those are the 3 main things. I've gotten better, at not using my sticks. The endurance is, as I keep hiking, I've learned not to use them as much, but I still have them attached in case I ever need them, because coming down is when that's going to hit hard on the knees, and, it helps with balance. So my water, my food, and my sticks are probably the main 3 things that I'll always have with me.
Okay. Tammy, what about you?
Clearly water and food. But I always have Jolly Ranchers They're in there now. They're at the side pockets of all my packs. If I put my hand in there, there's Jolly Ranchers in all of them because I just load them up and leave them. I always have a jacket. My worst fear is being cold. Mm-hmm. I can be too hot. The heat doesn't bother me terribly much. I grew up in West Texas, so heat to me is irrelevant to a point. When it bothers other folks, it doesn't bother me, but I can't be cold. I'll mm-hmm. shut down if I'm cold.
Yeah.
So I always have a jacket. I always have my shell, always, as I'm terrified of being cold. But food is priority to me too. I need to eat, but like Mike said, I always have my sugars, but I'm different in the sense that I have to have some protein as well. I don't know what it is about my body, but I can't eat too many sugars without having some protein or I get an upset stomach. Okay. So I have to carry the protein as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important. A lot, I think all of you have mentioned this throughout the podcast, and it all relates to how you and your body relate to certain situations, and understanding that and implementing that into your experience, into your plan, as you start to plan hikes and stuff like that. That's so important to pay attention to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sean, I learned a lot from hiking with him. We did a lot of hiking. Hard, fast rule in the Green Berets when they're hiking and they're rucking across the country is you stop and you eat every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Whether you are hungry or not, you eat every 2 hours.
Yeah.
And a rule of thumb I've always heard is when your water's half gone, you turn around. Be mindful of how much water, especially if you have a bladder. It's kind of hard to.
Man, don't even get me started. If you hike with me and you have a bladder, I'm going to pop it.
Yeah.
I
think we're all in the same boat. The problem with bladders are you don't know you're out of water until you're out of water.
I can feel the weight because.
No. If I'm a more experienced hiker, I want to know how much water you have. Yeah. I want to see it. Because then I know, okay, we got X amount of miles to go. You have this much. I always carry extra water for the people that I'm with, a half a liter per person. And I want to see that. And the near-death situations that I've been in hiking, backpacking, has been because the other person, less experienced, had a bladder. And, they think it's the water fairy, and they're just sucking on that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never, never again.
Mine had a leak once, so that was a whole thing.
Exactly. But, how are you going to filter that? How are you going to get the water back in there? Yeah, okay, I can duct tape the hole or, it's no. Jennifer, no.
The Nalgene's. You got to have a Nalgene.
Yeah. I'm going to show you the magic here in a second. Laura, what about you?
Well, besides food and water, I don't ever hike without my headlamp. I don't want to get myself in a situation where I can't see at night. And I have a portable charger with me. So besides the food and the water, I've got to have headlamp and a portable charger all the time.
I think the headlamp is one of the most important pieces of gear. I don't care if you're starting a hike at 6 a.m, you don't know what's going to happen that day. Mr. Barry, he got lost out of Guadalupe Mountains and he didn't have a headlamp. He didn't have a phone charger. And can you imagine being out there at night?
No.
And if I'm being honest, I have two. I carry two headlamps. I have one that I plan on using for me, and I have an extra in case somebody ever needs it because they don't weigh much.
Yeah, so, exactly. And the batteries could not work or that headlamp could just not work. Yeah, having two is that's perfect.
Right. Yeah. Headlamps and portable chargers are a given for me if I'm doing any kind of long hike. If we're just going 3 miles on something silly, but a real hike, no, I have to have it.
The headlamp, when we did Hatchet with Mike, we started early in the morning and we planned to be off the mountain, around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And because Casey got us off trail, you know, and well, and we ended up here. It is. It's like 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And we have an hour of sunlight left and we have more than an hour back.
Yep.
And I didn't have a headlamp because I'm like, we started early in the morning. It was a lesson learned situation where I'm like, never again will I leave without a headlamp, because you never know when Casey's going to take you off trail.
Exactly. Yes.
The Recon Marine's going to get you lost.
But yes. It can happen in any situation. What if somebody you're with got hurt and you stay with them until help gets there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, nobody on that hike had a headlamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had like 6 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you don't want to use your phone has a light, but now you're getting into that battery.
Yeah.
Teresa, what about you?
Okay, so obviously lip gloss and aviators are number one, but
hold on, wait. To the listeners, if you join the Midland Odessa hiking Facebook page,
we're checking your lip gloss.
You will see two things: a lot of lip gloss pictures.
Yeah,
and Teresa with those aviators in a crooked, ussy scenario.
Yes, we have to take one every time.
Yep. Every time.
Yep.
Sticks, definitely. Our first hike with Jennifer, Guadalupe Peak. We were coming down. It was almost dark. We did not have any headlamps. So I never ever leave headlamps behind. I usually have ibuprofen. We've had one guy meniscus on the trail. In a lot of pain, was willing to take Midol, anything it took to take pain away. So we got him some ibuprofen. Always have a jacket. I always have rain gear now.
Mm-hmm.
And gloves. My hands, if my hands are cold, I'm done. And I usually stick some hand warmers and foot warmers just in my side pouch.
Yeah.
Just in case. Because if you're stuck overnight somewhere, you're in trouble.
I was actually going to say that too. We've got hand warmers between us constantly. Like, because I'm like Tammy, put me in 110 degrees. Will I be able to sleep well? No, but I'll survive. But you get me down to 30 degrees with wind and any kind of wet, I'm cold. And once I'm cold, it's not good.
Yeah. Well, I always have at least 5 layers on. So
we know.
So that's why I didn't say a jacket or anything like that. Cause I already have I have a t-shirt, I have a long sleeve shirt, I have a sweater, I have my hoodie, and then I have a jacket, I have my beanie. So like, I didn't mention any of that because like that's already a given in my, and you know, I think with Teresa and Mark, our last time we did the peak, I got hurt and I learned to always have Tylenol or any kind of pain reliever, because like I literally Mark helped me off that mountain because I could not straighten out my knee. Was just shot, and like I guess the ligament in my knee got over, you know, just it was done for. And always have reliever in your bag,
because so. It'll maybe the, you know, the difference between getting someone off a mountain yourself versus someone having to come get them if you get their pain a little bit more under control. I mean, if
it's worse, a good first aid kit, and actually open it up, look at what it consists of, modify it, and know how to use all the stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So last two questions. You're approached by a new hiker and backpacker, and they want you to recommend one piece of gear. What is that recommendation going to be, Tammy?
If I'm recommending one piece of gear, I'm going to recommend my ultralight backpack.
Okay. A specific brand?
I don't know. What brand do we have?
Hyperlight.
Yeah, the Hyperlight backpack. I mean, I love my Hyperlight. I have to throw out there, I have to recommend two things in my chair.
Okay. Camp chair.
Yeah, because, I mean, I got mine at REI, and it weighs like a couple of ounces. And when I was on Hatchet and Casey pulled out that chair, I about died, because I'm struggling because, you know, we're off trail. We've just climbed the side of this mountain that we shouldn't have climbed. And he pulls out a chair, just whips it out and sits down. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, how nice would that be right now? You know?
I never backpack without a chair. I have the one that has the high back, the Helinox. And so it comes up to like right here. It's, I don't know, 17 ounces or something.
It's worth the weight.
I'm good. it's yes. worth the wait. To me, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
So. All right. So backpack, ultralight backpack and the chair. Laura, what about you?
Good hiking shoes.
Yeah.
Don't hike in tennis shoes. Get good hiking shoes. My hiking shoes are actually trail running hiking shoes
because
they have better grip and they work better for me. And like, I love Salomons, but some people love Hokas. And, you know, I think you've got to do what fits your foot.
Yes.
Best for you.
That's right.
But you've got to go and try on shoes. Don't be buying it online. Go try on shoes. Figure out the brand that fits your feet and buy it.
Take them on the trail and then exchange them. My friend Greg, we were doing the Lone Star hiking trails. We were going to through hike it. And REI, he took back 8 pair of shoes before he finally found his ride or dies. So hiking shoes. All right, Michael.
Well, I have a whole closet full of hiking shoes.
But what is your one piece of gear?
Well, I would look, well, first of all, if I ran in front of the trail, I'd take a look at them. And, you know, depending on the conditions, personally, Jason, I always hike in boots. I believe that I have to hike in boots.
And that's okay. We're accepting here on the Trailblazing Texas podcast.
On the Facebook page, people are, what are the best shoes? The best shoes are the ones that you like.
Yep.
As long as they're good shoes. I have an issue with the balls of my feet. So I use Hokas because they have super cushion. But I also like the boots for the ankle support. Because if you twist your ankle and you're out there, especially by yourself, I would have different gear from hiking by myself. I've gotten lazy.
Yeah, because you've gotten with us.
Because I've gotten with them.
Yeah.
If I was by myself,
So you're saying there's no challenging hikes anymore for you?
No, they're. there are.
Say that again, Teresa.
I said for him, the drive is challenging.
But if they didn't, I would say, you know, good shoes, obviously. I've looked at their footwear and I would say, well, you probably. And if you're in rocky terrain, you need ankle support because you twist your ankle and you're screwed. If they didn't have trekking poles, I'd say you need to get trekking poles.
I'm a believer.
It saves so much energy. And because you can utilize those coming down, you can utilize them going up, you're able to use your arms and it saves so much energy. And
even if it's just this much every time you take a step, that adds up.
It does. It's cumulative.
I mean, you can use them as a brace if someone has a fractured leg. You can use them as a stretcher. You can put your jacket on them. They're just multi-use. You need to have them.
And I use them not only because all my tents are trekking pole tents. It's a benefit.
Hiking alone, I don't do this now, but I know how to read a map. I'm a geologist. I know how to read a map. I would always take a paper copy of the topographic map and a compass.
Yes. This is
all compass. Because if you can find north and you can line that up with that topographic map, you can you can figure it. Now, phone. That's electronic.
The compass is in your phone.
Hold on. You just dropped, Laura, you just dropped your phone in the water. Now, what are you going to do?
Yeah, as long as you got coverage and as long as.
I'm just telling you.
No, you can, there's an offline map on your phone, but you just dropped your phone in the water. Now, what are you going to do?
I have my Garmin watch, and my Garmin watch has the map on it. And then when I get lost, I can tell it to send me back to where I go. And I push that button on my watch, and it tells me where to go.
The new Apple Ultra does that too.
A paper topographic map never runs out of anything. It's not. And you know,
fell in the water.
You've got bigger problems because if it's like a backpack and you fell in the water, then you're with it.
There is no water, so
that's now you're in hypothermia.
I just think redundancy helps.
No,
don't depend on your electronics. How many people have died out there because they depended on their phone or their electronics? You know, bigger map.
Because you can't figure out how to use a watch.
As simple as something as simple as a compass.
And you don't have to be an expert.
That was a good jab.
No, Teresa, what about you?
Okay, so initially, when a lot of people start hiking, they have backpacks that don't have the waist strap.
Yeah.
And so the weight's on their shoulders, and they're trying to carry all that water. They're miserable. They've got cramps. So I highly recommend a good backpack with a waist strap.
Good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And know how to wear it. Know how to wear it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, it's supposed to sit right on your hips.
On your hips, yeah.
Yep. You know, learn how to wear your, go down and size your backpack. Have somebody size it at the place, you know, and find out what size you need.
Yeah.
They will fit you with that and show you exactly, you know, I mean, yeah, you don't worry across your stomach. It's not doing you any good.
It's funny, Teresa talking about a backpack, because the first hike that we went on Hunter, she had, I don't know, just some regular old Nike backpack or something. Mm-hmm. And that backpack was like Mary Poppins. She opened it up. She probably had 3 jackets in there. She had extra everything. She was probably carrying 40 or 50 pounds worth of stuff easily.
Yeah.
Easily. She couldn't even get it back in once she pulled it out.
I know. I was giving water away on Guadalupe Peak one time. I had like 11 bottles. Like,
oh,
I just.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. She would carry absurd amounts of stuff.
I was just so worried nobody else would have their stuff. I just had stuff for everybody.
We had one of the. I took a friend, a high school friend. His son was born right after we graduated. And so I was, you know, I was learning how to be a father, watching Greg be a father. And his son passed away right after he graduated from A&M with cancer. And so I took Greg out to Guadalupe Mountains, and we were going to go out to the back country and just take a little piece of Trey's shirt and bury it. And Greg wasn't a hiker. And so we get about halfway up Bear Canyon, and Greg has his backpack, and he's struggling, right? Struggle bus. And because it's hard, right? And that was kind of the goal, was I was going to hike the shit out of him just so he would come to the realization that you can get through this. You can get through a lot.
You can do hard things.
And so he had his backpack across the trail, and I grabbed it, and I couldn't pick it up. And I was like, what in the heck do you have in here? He had 15 bottles of water. He had a metal shovel. He had.
What was the shovel for?
To bury the shit.
We were going
to
dig. And then Michael, you know, MREs, you know how heavy those things are. Yeah. He had 8 MREs. Oh. That's like, what, 4 or 5 pounds per MRE? So, I ended up taking a lot. But anyway, make a long story short. Yeah. It's, I don't even remember what direction I was going with this, but yeah, it's. But so I'm going to blow your mind with my favorite piece of gear. And if I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcasts, you would definitely know what it is. And it's this Trekker Joe water bottle sleeve holder. And the reason why is it does not support a bladder. It's procured in Texas by a Texas family in the hill country, Trekker Joe's. And this thing fits on your shoulder strap of your backpack.
Oh.
And the amazing thing is with one hand, I don't need to stop. I don't need to take off my backpack. I can't bend my arms back to grab my water bottles. So it's here, this piece of gear, it hooks here. And the most amazing thing about it, and I stumbled across this by mistake, is we had a big water carry, McKittrick Ridge. And so I had 2 of these. And so I had, you know, 2 liters on the front, 2 liters in my hip belt, and 1 liter in my backpack. And the weight distribution of having the water like that was incredible on my backpack, on my Hyperlite backpack. I have Hyperlite, I have Z-Packs, I have tons of great gear. This is the game. This is the only piece of gear that was a game changer for me. So as a listener, if you don't have a Trekker Joe's water bottle sleeve holder, man, you're missing out.
Do you get a commission on this?
I do not. I believe in Joe and his products.
Yeah. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. And you can see I got
a few.
I think total I have 6.
What kind of horse you do? What does it attach? Let me see the back.
Okay.
Okay.
So it attaches to your, you know, how like your shoulder thing has like that little, it hooks onto that. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. All right. Last question before we wrap up. Jennifer, this is yours to kick us off. Again, you meet a new hiker, backpacker on the trail. What is one piece of safety advice that you would give them?
Safety advice. My thing that I always try to do before hike is to have a map downloaded on my phone or have a map. Well, number one, my first thing would be my kids know where I'm going. They always, like, they're the only ones that have my location. So even if my phone does go off, they know where the area that I'm at or what I'm doing. I've looked at the map and know where the trail is and where we're going and all of that, kind of like figure out what your trail is and where you're going. That's the whole purpose of you being out there is to know where you're going. So,
yeah. All right, Tammy.
Listen to your body.
Yeah.
You can have everything. You can have your pack packed perfectly, have the right shoes on. And if you don't listen to your body that day, that moment, it could mean the difference in making it or not making it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, I think we talked about this, how important that is when you're in different circumstances. Like, Mike, will you with the candy versus the protein or at elevation or big mild days or rainy days? Like, understand how you deal with that stuff. Like, you know, Teresa, you were saying you get cold fast, so you know that's important to you. Or, you know, yeah, that's absolutely. Laura, what about you?
I'm going to agree with Tammy more than I can come up with anything on my own, because yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I am the person who listens to my body, whether mm-hmm. I am working out, whether I am hiking. When my body says no, I listen to that. When it says you're going to push it too far, because when I haven't and I'm and I push it too far, I pay. And every time I pay, it's not worth it. So I truly believe if you're in a position where you know this isn't going to go well, who knows what would have happened on Elbert that day. But I had not only my body, I had a voice in my head saying, go back. Go back. I listened and I went back.
She does. I mean, when we're at the gym and we work out together in the same pod, Laura does her thing. She doesn't compete with me or Teresa or anybody else there. She listens to her body, and if she can't do something or she has to stop doing something
or modify it,
she will modify it rather than, you know, do something that is she's uncomfortable with.
No. So
that's why we never do what she does. We never follow. Yeah.
Hey, you know, at the climbing gym, man, my ego gets in the way.
Yeah, it does.
A lot. Getting showed up by my sons or hitting, and I can't even come close to what they climb, but oh man. Yeah. So Michael, what about you?
What's that?
Safety. What is a piece of safety advice that you would give to a new hiker, backpacker?
I have to agree. I mean, I have to go with Laura and I have to go with Tammy, because I mean, like you said, we've all seen those people out there that you just look at and you're just like, You know, I've never done it, but I mean, I should do like you do and just say, look, you know, I don't think you're going to make this. You know, I think you don't have the right gear. You don't have enough water.
It seems to me like you're saying prepare for the worst and hope for the
best. Well, you should always hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Yeah. And you're so unprepared that, and if I find myself unprepared.
Those people that you're passing on the trail, those people, you know, that Jason was talking about, when you're passing them, we're going down and they're going up and they look miserable and you know they're miserable. Their body's screaming to them that they're miserable.
Yeah, and they should
turn. That should be the red flag right there. I'm miserable. This is not okay.
Yeah, and we should do that even with ourselves, no matter how experienced we are, no matter how many peaks we've climbed and stuff. There's always going to be, like you say, Tammy, there's going to be that day where just something's a little bit off, you know.
Yeah.
done this before. You know, I mean, this is, I can do this. I've done it before. Yeah, the easiest person to fool
is yourself. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, they don't all have cookies in their pack like Mike or like Pete.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's he getting those?
Okay, so mine's always going to be do your research. You have All Trails, you have YouTube, you have TikTok now. Do your research, research that trail, and know your fitness ability.
Mm-hmm. And you have the Trailblazing Texas podcast.
Yeah, we do. We got you. We have anything, questions on Guadalupe's, you're the man to, yes. I mean, you know, those probably you better than anybody I know.
Well,
for
these
sure.
Hiking websites like ours even is an excellent resource.
The people are so nice and so willing to help. There's no way you should step on a trail and be unprepared this day and age.
Yep.
You know, back in Michael's day, you know, when he was a young pup, maybe so, but not now.
Yeah, now.
There's no way.
All the technology we have.
Yeah.
And our goal with this group is to get people out hiking. You know, we take all hikers. We don't care if this is the first time you've been. We've had a lot of people first time hiking, and they'll show up with God knows what, but they just because they don't know. Yeah. But I mean, that's when our experience can help them to learn to be a better hiker, what they need and things like that. I mean, we don't necessarily tell them what to show up with, but certainly we take a look at them. And then, you know, a lot of this we didn't know. I mean, we've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from hiking with more experienced hikers, like the nutrition, things like that.
Yeah.
Like leaving my raincoat. You know, I mean, you know, these are the things that stick with the back of your mind. And, you know, the thing that I did last time that didn't work out, don't do that again.
No.
And so but you got to get out and hike to learn those things, or hike with more experienced people who can give you this advice. But I mean, we want to invite everybody to come out hiking with us. You know what I mean? Because we love, that is our goal, to get people interested in it. That's, you know, and so.
I know there are people out there that were feeling like me. Like, I know that there were people who wanted to be outside and wanted people to go hike with and do those kind of things with, and I didn't even know where to find them. And so I feel like there's more and more resources, and obviously Midland Odessa Hiking Group, the Texas podcast, everything that we're doing gives people more of that. When I met Teresa in April of 21, I was planning on moving. I was leaving. I wasn't going to be in our area anymore. I was going to Colorado because I wanted to find like-minded people. Because I was convinced no one in West Texas was like-minded like me. I was convinced nobody wanted to hike or kayak or just be outside. And I thought, I'm not going to find anybody. And that one moment shifted everything for me. And now I can't even imagine living anywhere else because of the people that we formed, the relationships that we've built because of what started with Teresa, Mark, then Jennifer, and it just grew and it grew. And now here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I retired, you know, I was seriously contemplating moving, you know, because there's, you know, I'm a geologist. There's no really geology here. You know, it's flat. You know, you don't even worry about your dog running away because you can see him for 3 days. You know, like, you know. But then I ran into these people, and you know, Tammy, Jennifer, and you know, the people that aren't on here that are within our core group. And it's like having friends, and I mean, we're really family now. I mean, it's not friends. I mean, we're just really like family now. We look after each other, not just on the trail. Yeah. We're there for each other if somebody needs anything, regardless of, you know, it doesn't have to be anything to do with hiking. I mean, we just keep an eye on each other. We were retired.
You're retired.
Yeah.
I think real quick, just to go back, like my most important safety advice for someone new. And you know, it comes with, you don't have to have an income or anything outside of just starting. Let someone know what you're going to do, your itinerary, where you're going to be, when you're going to start, how many miles, when do you expect to be done, when do you expect to be back home. And if you get to the trailhead and your plans have to change, let that person know. And if they don't respond back to you saying, yes, I got it, I know you're changing, don't change. Just call it a day and go back home or go to the bar or wherever. But if you commit to an itinerary, stick to it.
Oh, just that's why we like to have our posts, like our Facebook posts, which trail we're doing, what time we're leaving, you know, just we'll always know where we're at. But one thing I really appreciated in Leadville, Colorado, we stayed at the Roadway, and the man working the desk was also just happened to be search and rescue. So we filled out forms with all of our information, phone numbers, which mountain we were climbing. And if he didn't hear back from us at this particular time, he was coming looking for us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And also too, I always, for me, I always take a picture at the top and I send it to my kids, so they know that I made it up to the top and that we're coming down. Or when we get down, I let them know, hey, we're down from the mountain. That's one of the things that I always do.
But it's that communication, and you don't need any special subscriptions or anything. It's just something that probably everybody has. And it'll definitely save your life.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming on the podcast. And again, to the listeners, the best Facebook hiking group that I have been a part of is the Midland Odessa Hiking Group. Please join it. Especially as I said, I don't know, 30 times in the intro, if you're a woman and you have any doubts about hiking, safety, and all this stuff, this group is cored and led by strong women. You will fit right in. You will, you know, like,
Mike.
Yeah. Michael, you know, he's the protector.
I am the shepherd.
And also, like, to the listeners, you're going to have some adventure. You're going to have fun. You're going to feel loved. You're going to feel respected. You're going to feel, Mike, you said it, like, it's family. And, join it and you will not regret it. But again, Tammy, shit show, Jennifer. Oh, wait, I forgot to ask. So are all of you part of the shit show, or is it just, Yeah, to the listeners, they're called the shit show. And I don't know why. Maybe, you know, after you listen to the podcast, you'll figure it out. But again, you know, I don't know that I would have wanted to start this endeavor, this podcast. And I don't know where it's going to end up without having you guys on. You know, we've shared not a whole lot of hikes, you know, just the one, but it was special enough for me to have you on, and I greatly appreciate you taking the nearly 3 hours of your Tuesday night and joining me on this.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. I'm Tammy, and my first day of school to boot.
Yeah, oh yeah, and it's their so's Lori. So again, I greatly appreciate it, and I will definitely let you know when this is going to be dropping. And again, thanks so much. And to the listeners, join that group. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode, where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.